Tonight. In order to do that, I mentioned this morning that there was a man who had a prayer concerning the Lord, and he said in his prayer that I may see him more clearly. I may follow him more nearly, and I may love him more dearly. And I mentioned that I believe there are many true believers and those that are here again tonight, that's what you want in your life. That you would indeed see Jesus more clearly. And we said in the Old Testament there are snapshots of Jesus. We said in the Word of God in the Old Testament there are pictures of Jesus Christ. He's all over the book of the law. He's all over the books of history. He's all over Proverbs and he's in Psalms and in the prophets. And there's so much that you can get from him. And I remember the prophet Isaiah, Charles Spurgeon, was saved through a message from the pre-incarnate Christ through Isaiah. Look unto me, he said, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. And so Jesus is very real, and he's so real you can reach up and touch him, because he actually came in the Gospels, and then in the epistles he's taught about, in the Revelation he's coming again. So we've been talking about the need for believers to get close to Christ. And I've been preaching on five ways for you to get closer to the Lord Jesus. Because it may be that at one time you were close, but there's things between you and the Lord that have built up. And you need to get to the point where there's nothing between you and the Savior. And so this morning we looked at three of the ways, of the five ways for you to get closer to the Lord. And we went, and I encourage you to take your Bible and go back where I am tonight, to Ruth chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Ruth chapter 3, third book of history, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and the third chapter, chapter 3. And we get this from the true story, a love story of Ruth and Boaz. And you remember that the family of Elimelech had gone to Moab and backslid and left their land, left their home, left the worship of God, and went there to the pagan place of Moab. And they were there a lot longer than maybe they expected. They went there for finances, but they got really impoverished. And you could do that spiritually. They got away from the house of bread, Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they went to a place where there was no real bread. And Elimelech wound up dying because of God's chastisement. His two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they took Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth, and both of these men died. Their names mean puny and pining. And they died, and there was not much there in their lives. Orpah stayed with her gods and with her home, but Ruth said, my God will be your God, to her mother-in-law. Your people will be my people. And she proved to be a true believer and followed Naomi back to Israel. And as she was back there, you know, they needed bread to live on, and give us this day our daily bread. They got bread, and she would go into a field and get the grain that fell from those that were harvesting the grain, that were hired to do that. She was what you call a gleaner, and she would glean that and then get the bread. They would mill it, and then they would bake bread and have fresh bread. And that kind of bread is not the bread you get in the stores today. We need the real bread. So anyway, we talked about that, and Ruth was doing that. Well, Boaz had noticed Ruth. And he noticed what a godly woman. He noticed her work. He noticed her Christian character before the name Christian came up. You know, she had a godly character. And he noticed all of these things. And no doubt that she was a lovely lady. And he really was attracted to her, but he never said anything to her, a maiden from Moab who was a widow, and he was a bachelor from Bethlehem, and he had great wealth, and he was a godly man, and this bachelor from Bethlehem happened to be a relative of Naomi and of their family. So under the customs, he had the ability as a close relative to buy back the land, buy back what they had lost, and be able to provide for that family. And Naomi was aware of that, and she told Ruth about it. And so here we came to the place, and we looked at this Sunday morning, where there is a barley harvest going on. And Boaz is part of that barley harvest, and he's working to basically winnow the grain. That means to beat it, to throw it up. The chaff is blown away, the grain falls back, and then all of that grain is available. You can store grain for a long time, and that's what they did in those days before they milled the grain. And so that was a celebratory time, and Naomi got the idea of how Ruth could get married to Boaz and how Ruth could become more intimate with this man who was a relative to her family, but a stranger really to Ruth. She didn't really know him and in a close way. And so she told her, what she should do. And the first thing, and go with me back to Ruth chapter 3, and we said there's a backstory here. Behind and back of the love story of Boaz for Ruth is a love story of Jesus Christ and those of you who have come to believe in him. And that love story we're using to get some counsel from the Word of God through Naomi to Ruth on how you, because we're part of a Gentile bride, that's what the Lord is doing, how you as part of the Gentile bride can get closer to your bridegroom. And perhaps look at some reasons why he has been distant from you and you've been distant from him. And the first thing we found was go to Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. It says there, wash thyself therefore. The first thing we said is in order to get closer to the Lord, you have to be freshly cleansed. And Ruth, you know, worked hard, and she was no doubt sweaty and dirty from working, but this was not a time to go to work. This was a time to get intimate with the bridegroom, Boaz. And so she said, you need to bathe yourself. You need to cleanse yourself. And we talked about if you're going to get close to the Lord, you have to be freshly cleansed through the Word of God, being a mirror that shows you the dirt and the grime in your life, and then showing you the blood of Jesus and how you can be cleansed and get close to the Lord. And he says, you know, cleanse your heart, and you're double-minded, and wash your hands, and so forth. And so be freshly cleansed. Number two, we said this morning that Ruth was told, and I'll read it here in verse 3 again of chapter 3. It says, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. And the second thing was, put on perfume. And we said, what is the anointing that gives us a wonderful fragrance? And we found out in 1 John that we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Every true believer has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People say you need the anointing. You have the anointing. You have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be yielded to him so that you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And then when the Holy Spirit fills you to witness, you have that fruit of the Spirit, and it's very attractive. But that filling of the Holy Spirit makes you attractive to the Lord. It makes you so you can be close to the Lord, and he can be close to you. And without that, you cannot be close to the Lord. And so we said the second thing is that the priests were anointed, and lovers get anointed, so they're attracted to one another. Men put on cologne, women put on perfume, and in those days they mixed spices and made their own. And the second thing we said is you need to be fragrantly consecrated, like the priests were anointed, and lovers get anointed with perfume, so that when the Lord, when you come into the Lord's presence, he smells a sweetness about you. And he sees that you're clean through the Word of God and the blood of Jesus. And then we said, thirdly, that in order for you to be closer to the Lord Jesus, just like Ruth was counseled how to get closer to Boaz, that Naomi said this in verse 3 of chapter 3 again. She said, and I'll read it, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor." And we said, well, what is the raiment? And we went to Isaiah 61, and number one, that you need beauty for ashes. You know, Ruth had had some mourning going on and some ashes or hard work going on and had work garments, but Naomi said, put that away. Put your mourning garments away. Put your work clothes away. Put on a long, beautiful dress that will be attractive and will be beautiful. And we have on the beautiful dress of the Lord Jesus, right? And we need to recognize that beauty for ashes. And secondly, in order to really be attractive to the Lord, we need to be fitly clothed. And not only beauty for ashes, but joy for the spirit of mourning. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. A lot of times Christians are not attractive to the world because they don't have the joy of the Lord in their life. They're complaining and mourning and all that stuff. And God says no. And also, you're not attractive to the Lord if you have no joy. I mean, a man wouldn't be attracted to a woman if she's always down, always sad, always depressed. Always, no, there needs to be some joy there. And the Lord says you need to be fitly clothed, have on beauty, the beauty of Christ's righteousness, have on yourself the wonderful joy of the Lord instead of the spirit of mourning. And then he says, instead of the spirit of heaviness, you need to have praise. And we said this morning, you have a lot of reasons to praise God. You have a lot of reasons to thank God. And instead of all the complaining in your praying, you wonder why you're not getting your prayers answered. Put in some praise. Put in some thanksgiving. God loves that. And the Lord loves that. And by the way, men love to be what? Praised. Men love to be praised. They love it when a woman respects them, gives them reverence. That's their love language, ladies. They love respect. They love to be praised. And so find something you can praise God for. I think you can find something. Amen. He's altogether lovely. Jesus is altogether lovely. And he wants you to praise him for his loveliness. And you can be closer to the Lord than you have been. And this is all Naomi's counsel to Ruth. Now, I want to give you a fourth one tonight and a fifth. And the one that we didn't look at yet is in verses 3 and 4, just following from where we've been, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3, and then into verse 4. I'll read it. You can follow along. It says, "But Naomi says to Ruth, but make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." So what are these words of counsel here, and what do they mean from Naomi? Well, here Naomi is saying, Ruth, you are to place yourself at the feet of your Redeemer, Boaz. You are to place yourself at the feet of your Redeemer, Boaz. Now, how does Ruth do that? You have to understand, Boaz has been working. He's eaten and had his drink, and he's satisfied. Now he's very tired. You know, the sleep of a working person is sweet, amen? And Boaz goes to sleep. And Ruth comes and lays down next to him and lifts up his robe and places it over her. Now, there's nothing dirty here. This is not what we have in America today. A sleazy, immoral culture. This is not some sleazy motel that she's going to and having intimacy outside of marriage. No, keep in mind, this is a family thing. Everybody with their families and their children are there in that threshing floor. They're all sleeping there. They've worked hard. They're celebrating. And this is something in public where Ruth is declaring something by lying down next to him and by putting the skirt of his robe over her. She is saying by doing that I am surrendering and I am putting myself under the protection of this man, and I am putting myself under the provision of this man. And this reminds me of the fifth way for you to be closer to the Lord Jesus, not only be freshly cleansed and fitly clothed and fragrantly consecrated, but fully committed to the Lord, to depend upon Him for your provision, to submit to Him for your direction, to be protected by the Lord. And the best protection you have is to be with the Lord and in His will. And that's the best thing you can do. So it says here, and I'll read it again. It says, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and when his heart... Now this is in, I'm sorry, this is in verse 7 through 9. I didn't read this. Look at chapter 3, 7 through 9. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and when his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered and said, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now he understood exactly what that meant. Now you can apply this to salvation. In fact, she is really saying, I want to be married to you. I want to have you be my husband. I want you to restore what the family had lost by sin. And I want you to do that. And that's a picture of us coming to the Lord Jesus. And when she said, spread the skirt over me, that's the skirt of his robe. And that's an idea of put your wings over me. And remember the Lord Jesus said to Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks unto her, and ye would not. You know, that's a picture of a storm. And when a storm comes, there's all these little chicks and they're running around. And the mother hen is there with her wings and her feathers. And she wants to get her chicks under her. She wants to protect them. You know, I heard recently of an Israeli soldier that Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to honor. And this soldier was a man, and he had children around him, and there was a terrorist grenade that was ready to go off. And this man saw his children. He saw it. They didn't have enough time to get rid of it. He dove on top of their grenade, and he died. and his children lived. But they had the pain of seeing their father blown up by that. And you know, that gives us a little picture of the Lord's love for us. Boy, we are loved by Jesus, and he wanted to love Jerusalem, and he wanted to gather them so that they would come to him and say, I want to get under your wings like the chicks in a mother hen. But he said, you wouldn't do it. You didn't want it. Ruth is saying, I want it. I want your wing over me. I want your protection. I want your provision. And that's what we should want. He's not going to force our will. He's a gentleman. He said that he says that you need to be willing. And so God works in your life to draw you to be willing. But Jerusalem, they would not. And so Ruth was willing. She wanted to be under Boaz's protection. And Naomi said, that's what you need to do. And let me say to you, as a child of God, if you're already born again and you're not, you are under the Lord's protection, but you need to get fully committed to him. You need to be fully committed to follow his direction. You need to be fully committed to him, not just once in a while, but daily and throughout the day, to be depending upon his provision, following his direction, and looking to him for protection. Have you been doing that, or have you gotten dependent on other things? Nothing wrong with going to a doctor, but the great physician is the one who truly heals. And you need to depend upon him by faith for that. Nothing wrong with having a job and getting your money. That's how you get your money, your work. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat, the Bible says. You need to work. But having done that, you still have to depend upon the Lord and depend upon him for your daily bread and so forth and so on. And so, have you been doing that? God is saying here, through Naomi's counsel, be fully committed to your Redeemer. And that's what happened here with Ruth. And in saying that, you are saying that you're fully committed to his will for your life. Let me say something tonight. The most sacred place for you as a believer to be is at the feet of Jesus, your Redeemer. It's not in the church pew, although I'm glad you're in the church pew tonight. It's not even at the altar. It's not on the platform. It's not behind the sacred desk here, the pulpit. The most sacred place for you to be is at the feet of Jesus. And he notices that. You know, John was always up close to him. And he wanted to be. He'll give you what you want. He'll give you what you want. Ruth wanted to be at his feet. And Boaz, when he woke up and saw her there, and she told him why she was there, he was so happy. He was happy. And you know, the Lord was given a complaint. And it was the sister of Mary of Bethany that complained, and Mary's just too much at your feet, you know. She should be helping me. And Jesus said, no, she's chosen the best part. That's not going to be taken away from her, Martha. And I'm saying to you tonight that the Lord wants you to be fully committed to him, to lie at his feet and be ready to hear what he has to say to you. Be ready to go, just like Diane said tonight, ready to go with him to give the gospel, and how God blessed that. And like Matt said tonight, and you know, I was out on bus ministry on Saturday, and I had visited a lot of people and invited a lot of people out for the campaign. And I said, Lord, I want to witness to somebody. I want to lead somebody to the Lord. And I remembered I used to go on a street called Lincoln Street, and it was in Oliphant, in the neighborhood. And I forgot exactly where it was. I was driving through Oliphant. I was getting getting tired. I was at the end of the bus route. I'd been out for a number of hours and I was tired. And I said, Lord, here I am out here and you know I want to give the gospel to somebody. You know I want to lead somebody to you. I said, Lord, just if you want me to go to Lincoln Street, it's been dead. It used to be open. Now nobody wanted it. I said, it's dead. So I'm not going to go there and waste time. But if you want me there, just have me somehow wind up there when I'm driving through Oliphant. I didn't even know where it was. And I started driving. I cut through some streets in order to get to a main street to get out and then head up over the mountain. And there I was at Lincoln Street. And I said, wow, Lord, okay, I'll see what you got for me here. There's usually nobody there. And I knocked on a door of a lady that used to come and found out she wasn't there. She doesn't live there anymore. And another lady came to the door. Amen. All right, she's coming next week. Her name is Sierra. Matt follows up my work. See, he was knocking on her door because she said she wanted to come today. But she said next week she'll come. She doesn't have a phone. Her name's Sierra, adult lady, lives there. My, she prayed to receive Christ. I got to help her, lead her to Christ, help her with some problem to come to Christ. And she said, I want Christ. I want his covering, and I want his protection, his provision. And she trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. I'm saying you need to be fully committed to him, and he will be personal with you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you. There's one more thing that you need, not only freshly cleansed, fragrantly consecrated, fitly clothed, fully committed, but finally, I'd like you to look with me at verse 5, and we'll look also at perhaps verse 4. But notice it says in verse 5, and she said unto her, that's Ruth, said in response to Naomi's counsel, she said, all that thou sayest unto me will I do. All that thou sayest unto me, that will I do. Then I want you to notice in verse 4 that Naomi said to Ruth about how Boaz will respond if she lies down and asks Boaz to, and puts that skirt of his robe over her. And Naomi said, here's how he'll respond. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And he, Boaz, will tell thee what thou shalt do. And Ruth says, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Oh, I like that. He will tell me, the Redeemer will tell you all that you shall do. And Ruth says, all, Naomi, that you say unto me, I will do. And understood that all Boaz tells me, I will do. You know what I see there? Ruth is faithfully compliant to follow the will of God expressed through her mother-in-law and the Redeemer that is her relative. Are you faithfully compliant to the Lord? Or are you stiff-necked, hard-hearted when it comes to the Lord's counsel to you? Ruth is not that way. She's faithfully compliant to the words of the Redeemer relative who will be her husband. Can you be faithful? Can you be near to the Lord Jesus without your being faithfully compliant to the Bible, the Word of God? Can you be near to the Lord Jesus without being faithfully compliant to the promptings of his Spirit? Do you think that you should pick and choose parts of his will and accept and reject others? Naomi said, follow my counsel. Follow the counsel of your Redeemer. He will tell you what to do. And what did Ruth say? She said yes to Naomi. She said yes to Boaz. Notice the word all. Not just some of what Naomi says will I do, but Ruth says all. And then notice also that he will tell thee what thou shalt do. All, the word all. She did it all. And then notice the word do. All that you tell me, I will what? Do it. Do. You don't get close to the Lord, and some may think that they would disagree with me, but I think you'll understand. You don't get close to the Lord by just reading your Bible. You don't just get close to the Lord by hearing encouraging messages. I know some Christians, they just dial a preacher all the time. They're listening to all these messages, and they're not really close to the Lord. Their spiritual arteries are clogged with fat. You don't get close to the Lord by just hearing encouraging messages. You don't get close to the Lord by just reading your Bible. You don't get close to the Lord just by hearing the testimonies of other good Christians. No. You need to do what Jesus says in order to get close to the Lord. And where do we get this? In John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 17. Here's what the Lord says about you being faithfully compliant. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That's the Bible teaching of your preacher. Whether it be of God, Jesus said, or whether I speak of myself. So you can know God's will, and you can be close to God if you're willing to surrender your will to him and to do faithfully, complying to all that he shows you. It's not that you say to the Lord, teach me things in your word, and I will decide if I will comply with the teaching or the doctrine that you give me. Teach me things and I will decide if I'm going to comply. No, it's you should say, Lord, I will do your will. Now show me what it is. Lord, I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to do whatever you show me. But now show me from your word, by your spirit, what your will is. Now, I want to give you another scripture on being faithfully compliant like Ruth was. It says in John 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. Now watch this next statement. And will manifest myself to him. I love that. Can I say tonight, if you will be faithfully compliant to the Lord's will, you will be close to him, and he will show you more of himself than you've ever seen before. I went to Bible college, and I know that in Bible college, students get all excited about the knowledge that they're learning. And my college was no exception. But I have seen, listen to me, in Bible college, students learn a whole lot of knowledge from their professors, and it was like a dump truck. They would just dump all this knowledge on you, and you'd be like, wow, I've learned all this knowledge. And actually, I've seen a lot of students backslide and get far away from the Lord with a lot of Bible knowledge. I'm saying you need to be faithfully compliant to your heavenly bridegroom. By the way, that's how a wife gets close to her husband, not only by respecting him, but by submitting to his direction for the home, for her life, and by discussing that, and by being willing to submit to that direction. And that is how you get close to the Lord. And so Boaz, he had a response. And it's important how Boaz responded to Ruth when Ruth was willing to put herself under his protection and direction. And here's what Boaz did, and I want you to read, follow along as I read verses 8 through 10 of Ruth 3. I'll read it, verse 8. And it came to pass at midnight, that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness," in the latter end, and so forth. You know what I see here? That when she was faithfully compliant to Boaz, he blessed her. He said, "Blessed be you." You know what a blessing is? That's when the Lord confers spiritual benefits upon your life. I've said it before, what we need in our church, what we need in our lives, what we need in our families is God's blessing. We need God's blessing. Are you seeking God's blessing? Well, then be faithfully compliant to his direction, and he will bless you just like Boaz blessed Ruth. But not only did he bless her when she was faithfully compliant, but I want you to notice something else, and that is in verse 11 and 12. And he said, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." He not only blessed her, but listen to me, he reassured her. He said, "Don't be afraid. I love you. Don't be afraid. I want to do for you what you want. Don't be afraid." He assured her. And when you are faithfully compliant to the Lord Jesus, he gives you assurances of his love, assurances of your salvation. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit that assures you. He gives you a sense of you being a child of God that assures you. He gives you a direct witness of the Holy Spirit oft times to assure you of his great love for you. He speaks to your soul and assures you. Listen to me tonight. So many believers, it is so sad that they do not want to be faithfully compliant to the Lord as they ought, and therefore they lack assurance. And they go through this life and they lack assurance. Now we can trust the bare word of God, and we should trust the bare word of God, but you should want more assurance that he will give you. And this is a reminder that he will bless you, and that like Boaz assured her, he will reassure you. And you notice he said that there is a kinsman that's nearer than me, and I will give him an opportunity, listen to me, to redeem you. But if he won't do it, then I will do it. Do you know who that person represents that wound up having the opportunity to redeem Ruth, but he couldn't bear her children? He couldn't give her children because he would mar his own heaven. That represents the law. If you could be saved by the law, God would do it, but you can't be. That's why you need one to become your relative, God to become a man and do it himself. He kept the law. He died under the curse of the law for our failure to keep the law. He rose again in order that the righteousness of the law might be in our lives through Jesus. And so he blesses you. He reassures you. And he reminds you that the law cannot save you. Works cannot save you. But he is willing and able to give you what you need. And you know, the Bible says that he reassured her. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And some people think, well, I need to love God more perfectly so I'm not afraid. But the fact of the matter is, we'll never perfectly love God. It's God's perfect love for us that casts out fear. And he will reassure you of his love. He said, my Father will love you and manifest myself to you in the love of God. That's what's poured out in our hearts by the Spirit, Romans 5 and Romans chapter 8, the witness of the Spirit. And so we need that, and the Bible talks about that. I just want to say one more thing that we see here, and that is in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3. Follow with me as I look at and read 16 and 17 of chapter 3. And it says there, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her of all that the man had done to her. In other words, I am now going to be the bride of Boaz. And verse 17, and she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto my mother-in-law. In other words, he poured out provisions for her. You know, the amazing thing to me about the Lord Jesus, as I learned to faithfully comply with him and be fully committed to him, I learned that he loves to give good gifts to his children. And every day is an adult Christmas for the born-again believer. And I'm just saying that's the way it is. Every day is Thanksgiving. He just loves to pour it out. My God shall supply all your need. I realize just the need is all he's committed to do. But he says, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, he just so often gives us so much more and pours it out upon us because of his great love for us. And I think about this word in chapter 3, verse 18. I just want to say this. Look at that, verse 18. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, this is Naomi to Ruth, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Boaz is the redeemer. Naomi says, you don't have to do anything. You've done your part. You've come to him. You put yourself under him. And now the man will not rest until he hath finished the thing. You know what I think about the Lord Jesus? That he did not rest until he'd gone to Calvary and gone through all the suffering for your redemption. And then finally he said, it is finished. He didn't rest until it was finished. And so with Boaz, he did not rest until he had secured Ruth and was willing to redeem her. And what blessing came into her life. We've been talking about 5 ways for you to get closer to the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you'll take these things to heart. Number 1, be freshly cleansed. Number 2, be fragrantly consecrated by the work of the Holy Spirit that you yield to. Number 3, be fully clothed. Number 4, be fully committed to him. And 5, be faithfully compliant as he works in your life. May God help us to get close to the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Whatever need you have tonight, if you need salvation,